I've spent the last several years testing running watches, from the $800 flagships with topographical maps and training readiness scores to the ones that do almost nothing except tell you how fast you're going. Both have their place. Basic has become an insult, and I'd like us to cut that right the heck out. A basic running watch isn't a cheap, crappy watch. It's a watch that does what it was meant for. Pace, distance, splits, a lap button you can hit with sweaty or frozen fingers, a battery that won't quit at mile 20, and a screen you can read no matter how tired. That's the job. These do the job. They're also, and this surprises people, what a lot of very fast runners wear. Stand near the front of a starting corral sometime and count the watches that cost less than the shoes. Elites don't need a wrist device to tell them they're tired. They need accurate splits. If you're new, that's the biggest thing you need. Nothing kills a running habit faster than 40 metrics you don't understand that insist you're doing it wrong. Same goes if you're kidding out a kid for their first track or cross-country season. Buy the simple device. It'll survive the school bus, the mud, and the whole season. And they'll learn to run by feel, which is the entire point. My first Garmin was essentially a pace-watching brick on my wrist, and I still managed PRs. Here's what I'd actually put on your wrist. Best basic running watches. Best overall, Koro's Pace 4. Best value, Amazfit Active Premium 3. Best HRM watch, Polar Pacer. Best GPS, Garmin Forerunner 70. Best lifestyle, Apple Watch SE3, 4DM. Best for kids, Garmin Bounce. Full reviews. Our runner-in-chief Jeff Dengate tested the Pace 4 and came away calling it a fast, accurate, lightweight GPS watch that nails the basics without charging laptop-level prices. The Koro's Pace 4 adds a sharp, always, on AMOLED display and significantly improved battery life over the Pace 3, offering up to 31 hours in max GPS mode, about 24 with the screen always on, all while keeping the case compact and comfortable on the wrist. It tracks advanced run-specific metrics like running power, ground contact time, and left-right strength balance. That might not be necessary for new and casual runners, but they are useful measurements for training. There's a reason why RW Senior Reviews editor Kat Bowen named it Best Value in our overall Best Running Watches Guide. GPS performance is a standout, with dual-frequency technology delivering smooth, reliable tracks even in neighborhoods and city environments that can throw cheaper chips off course. Dengate also highlights the new voice log feature, which lets you record post-run thoughts that automatically transcribe into the Koro's app, making training logs easier to maintain. At 40 grams with the silicone band, 32 grams with nylon, the watch feels barely there in daily use and workouts, though Dengate dislikes the finicky digital dial, especially with gloves, and finds notification text too small to read easily mid-run. For runners who value turn-by-turn, full-color maps, the Pace 4's breadcrumb-only navigation may be a limitation, but for most no-frills runners wanting accurate tracking, solid battery life, and a modern screen at an entry-level price, it is a compelling choice. Look, I've spent more money on a pair of running shoes than this watch costs. And honestly, that's a little embarrassing for the shoes. At $170, the Amazfit Active 3 Premium is wildly outperforming its price tag, and in the words of runner-in-chief Jeff Dengate, if you can find better for the price, I'll eat it. For new runners, this watch is a gift. There's a whole training library that walks you through what a tempo run or a fartlek actually is, instead of assuming you already know. You get pace, cadence, heart rate zones, running power, and form metrics like ground contact time, which is stuff I did not have on watches costing three times as much. It also has free offline maps with turn-by-turn navigation, so you can leave your phone in your pocket. The cheapest Garmin with offline mapping is over $700. The recovery metrics are right up there with Garmin and Apple. Training load, VO2 max, readiness recommendations, sleep and HRV tracking that's detailed enough to make you rethink that 5 p.m. Diet Coke. It nudges you toward rest days with a little less guilt than Garmin. The nitpicks, the user experience needs polish, do not disturb is fiddlier than it should be, and the four buttons are sensitive. I've paused mid-run more than once with an errant sleeve. Still, for the money, nothing touches it. At just around $300, the Polar Pacer has some great training-specific features that make it especially useful for competitive runners training on a budget. Its built-in running program can help you create a training plan to get ready for a 5K, 10K, half marathon, or marathon. Using the Polar Flow app, you can select your race type and date, or the name of the race, and it will create specific workouts to follow within the app that are synced to your watch to follow along. It also provides comprehensive training insights after intervals and long runs, and tracks your long-term fitness trends outside of training. There are also niche, but useful features like fueling and hydration reminders and Training Load Pro, which monitors strain and recovery. As someone who isn't great at taking cues from my body when it's time to take a break, having an active reminder was helpful, and something you can usually expect in an affordable running watch. Although I generally liked Polar's hardware and software design, I felt that Polar could have used the space of its 1.2-inch MIP display a bit more effectively. Much of the text was small, and the screen had lots of unnecessary white space that could have been used to support more specs, or at least a larger font. I also found it a bit unintuitive that the red button was used for intervals, rather than a start-stop button. It ended up working out great. It's a helpful button, but there was a bit of a learning curve. For race runners who want support to help them train, but may not be able to afford a coach or training program, the Pacer feels about as close to having a coach on your wrist as possible at this price point. The Garmin Forerunner 70 is Garmin's new entry-level running watch, priced at $250, and it's a great pick for beginners. It has a 1.2-inch AMOLED touchscreen, which is the same panel tech found on watches costing twice as much, so it looks and feels more premium than you'd expect at this price. More importantly, it includes training readiness and training status, features that used to be reserved for watches costing $400 or more, plus an on-device quick workouts generator and free Garmin coach plans for 5K, 10K, and half marathon training, no subscription needed. The five buttons make it easy to navigate menus, and it's light and comfortable for daily wear. Battery life is boss too. They say it's up to 13 days in smartwatch mode and 23 hours in GPS mode, but in real life, you're getting a full week. It skips extras like multiband GPS and NFC payments, but for a new runner focused on building a habit and understanding their training, that's an easy trade. Before I switched to a proper running watch, I started my wearable tech journey by tracking runs on an Apple Watch. I trained for my first marathon using one, and I actually still wear an Apple Watch SE between runs because of its effective multi-sport fitness tracking and quality of life features like setting voice-activated timers. Though the Apple Watch is generally beloved, we generally steer runners towards brands like Garmin and Coros, which offer more robust tracking features and better battery life, often at lower prices than Apple's generalist counterparts. That said, Apple Watches still work well for casual runners, tracking the basics and giving you lifestyle features that you won't find on other watches in this price range. To keep it to $300 with GPS and cellular, we recommend the smaller of the SE's two sizes, 40mm, which translates to a 1.57-inch display. The larger 40mm version starts at $280 without cellular, though you can sometimes find it for less. Both versions are far larger than any of my other basic recommendations, which is great if you have a larger wrist or need a large screen for visibility. I personally like the smaller version, which keeps the watch light but still easy to read. Apple Watches also generally feature a wider range of wristband options, first and third party, and the SE's bands come in two sizes. If comfort has been an issue for you, this watch gives you the best chance of finding something that feels good. Apple offers two related apps that utilize your run data, the fitness-focused Apple Fitness and the more metrics-minded Apple Health. Fitness allows you to create workouts and segments for training while charting deep metrics. You can see a lot of information at a glance, too, including time elapsed, heart rate, rolling mile pace over the last mile, average pace, and distance. That said, I didn't love the way Apple organized my workout data. You need to search by date rather than just checking an activity log. Of course, you can always switch to Strava or Nike Run Club if you don't like the system. If you have a child who is starting to exercise and wants to track their steps like mom and dad, the The Garmin Bounce is a special smartwatch designed for kids that covers basic fitness tracking and serves as a controlled way for parents to keep tabs, both via texting and GPS tracking. The Bounce is designed for kids, which is to say that it's built to withstand them. It's durable and water-resistant with an IP68 rating, so it can go anywhere with them. The battery lasts up to 2 days, minimizing the chance that it'll run dry on them. It also has a colorful UI that encourages kids to engage with the watch and their metrics, and activities and games to help get them moving. In terms of tracking, the Bounce falls short of my usual standards for tracking. It just shows time and distance. For a kid, not a teen or even a tween, but a kid, that's about as much as they can handle or care about. That data syncs with the Garmin JR app, which parents can access remotely. It's worth noting that both the parenting and games features have elements that require mobile Wi-Fi LTE support, so you will likely want to add it to your mobile data plan, which will add about $10 a month to your monthly bill. Overall, this is a great way to help kids start to move around more and start thinking about the concept of exercise. How we selected. Every watch on this list costs $300 or less. That's the line I drew, and I drew it on purpose. You shouldn't have to spend a car payment to find out whether you like running. I've spent my running career strapping these things to my wrist, testing, logging miles, and digging through what's actually worth buying right now. What made the cut are watches that nail the fundamentals: speed, heart rate, and location, tracked with reasonable accuracy. If the gap between 155 and 156 BPM matters to you, you need a pricier watch or, better yet, a dedicated HRM. For everyone else, this is plenty. From there, they earn their spots with battery life that won't leave you hunting for a charger, multi-sport modes, advanced biometrics like blood oxygen, and built-in coaching programs. Here's the part nobody says out loud. A basic watch is the best way to figure out what you actually want. It shows you real data, real proof that the hard work is working. And by the time you're ready to shell out for something flashier, you'll know exactly which features you really need. How to choose a basic running watch. FAQs. Kat Bowen, Senior Editor of Commerce, Reviews, is a seasoned runner with more than 20 years of distance running experience, including dozens of marathons, half marathons, and even a few ultra marathons. For over a decade, she has tested parenting, fitness, home, and running gear and written in-depth guides to help readers with their next purchase. Holding multiple advanced degrees and currently studying kinesiology, Kat Bowen brings research-backed insight to all of her guides. Passionate about women's health and neurodivergent inclusion, she advocates for closing research gaps and helping others, especially ODHD people, find joy in running and fitness.